Canto 5. So we descended out of Circle 1 to Circle 2, the less in measurement, the greater in its sad cries fit to stun the senses. Here, deciding who will be sent to which reception, the selector looms whose name is Minos. Horrible to see, he's worse to see in action. Separate dooms for separate deeds, betokened by how he runs rings around himself with his long tail, so many turns for such and such a fault. The tortured souls, confessing without fail, are thus assigned to that drawer in the vault this connoisseur of turpitude may deem appropriate, while to his platform comes another load to share the same wild dream. They watch his living bullwhip do its sums, always for others, not for them, not yet. And then it's their turn, as they count the loops that weigh the crimes they hoped he might forget, and down they go, sad army, naked troops, to find their level. You that come to stay at this unlucky lodge, watch where you tread and whom you trust, Minos was moved to bray. The width of hell's mouth doesn't mean the dead who get in ever get to go away. My leader spoke for me. Shout till you drop. His travel papers bear a sacred seal. This thing is wanted where the moot points stop and certainties begin. There's no appeal. Here, after limbo, as I had before, I heard the countless outcries of lament combine to strike me as a constant roar. This was a place where every light was spent. It ranted as the sea does in a storm, that splits its own winds to go left or right, shrieking in all directions. Thus the form of the infernal tempest. Day and night the same, forever shapeless, without rest, it rends and roils the spirits with its force. They are the smeared signs of how it is blessed. Their cries can testify to its remorse. And when they come to where the rocks are cracked by background pressure, and a fissure gapes before them, then we hear the law attacked that brought them to this pass so none escapes, as all yell their complaints at that brute fact. I understood this was the punishment for carnal sinners, who let appetite rule reason, and who, once drawn, are now sent, like winter starlings by their wings in flight, across the bleak sky in a broad, thick flock. Here, there, now up, now down, the winds dictate their track. Small hope of pausing to take stock of whether anguish might not soon abate, at least a little, and no hope at all of peace. And as the cranes sing when they fly, in a long line attracting with their call, our eyes to them as they move through the sky, just so I now saw souls borne on the wind, trailing their cries of grief towards the spot where we stood. Who are these? How have they sinned? I asked my master. Dare to tell me what dooms them to be so harshly disciplined. The first of those of whom you would have news was Empress of many peoples, so explained my master. Willing neither to refuse demands from her own lust, nor to be stained by rules against it, she rewrote the law to make praiseworthy what had been her vice, and vicious what was virtuous before. Her name is Semiramis. More than twice as bad as her hot blood was her incest. She married her own son, so they could rule the Sultan's lands, Egypt and all the rest. The next is Dido, queen of Carthage, cruel to the ashes of her husband, whom she slew herself because of love. Not love for him, but for Aeneas. Cleopatra, too, that dark one there. Desire led to a grim reckoning. Behold Helen, in whose name a sea of trouble came to Troy in ships, and Paris knew it was a sea of flame, the fire that started when he kissed her lips. And there's Tristan. 1,000 more at least he named, the shades who left our life for love, the gentle women of a time long ceased to be, and all their cavaliers. Above my head, The waves of fear closed and increased their turbulence, and I was almost lost. Then I to him, "My poet, I would speak with those two." By the ill wind swept and tossed, as light as dead leaves on a mountain creek, who do not fly alone but as a pair. And he to me, "Call out when they can hear in the name of love that leads them through the air, and they will come to you." When they draw near, I spoke, "Tormented spirits, come to us, if someone else does not forbid you to. You fly for love, and love we should discuss, though it stirs shades into a witch's brew. And as when doves that long for their sweet nest see it, and with their stiffened wings spread wide, moved only by desire come home to rest, so these from Dido's squadron turned aside, and down through the malignant atmosphere, they came to us in an unerring glide. So deeply had my summons to appear touched them. O being gracious and benign, visiting us in air whose darkness is tinged by the blood of all in our long line, if the Emperor of the Universe, in his great mercy, were our friend, then we would pray for your repose, because of your distress at our sad fate. What you would have us say, let's hear about, now that the wind blows less, so we may speak before it howls once more." So she began, he silent in assent. Born where the Po descends to the seashore to meet its followers and rest content, I was a beauty. Love in gentle hearts strikes quickly, and the fair form I once had before I cruelly lost it by dark arts that still offend me, quickly drove him mad. Love pardons no one loved from love, and I was drawn to him with what force you can see. It still holds me beside him as we fly. Love gave two lives, one death for destiny. As for who killed us, Cain will help him die. Those stricken souls, through her we heard them speak, and when I understood the full import of what was said, as if my neck grew weak, I hung my head. My guide said, "Lost in thought." I was indeed. When I could breathe, I said, "Alas, so many sweet shared thoughts and things brought them this fate they think unwarranted." Thus I to him, to them, "Your sufferings, Francesca, make me weep for grief and more. But tell me, in that time of your sweet sighs, in that first flush, how love made you both sure of what you half saw in each other's eyes." And she to me, "Life brings no greater grief than happiness remembered in a time of sorrow. And he knows that well, your chief, who now walks in a world of dust and grime, when he once took bright laurels as his due. But if to know the one true origin of our love means so very much to you, then even as I weep, I will begin, reading together one day for delight of Lancelot, caught up in love's sweet snare. Were we alone, with no thought of what might occur to us, although we stopped to stare sometimes at what we read and even paled, but then the moment came we turned a page, and all our powers of resistance failed. When we read of that great knight in a rage, to kiss the smile he so desired, Paolo, this one so quiet now, made my mouth still, which, loosened by those words, had trembled so with his mouth. And right then we lost the will, for love can will will's loss as well, you know, to read on. But let that man take a bow, who wrote the book we called our Galahad, the reason nothing can divide us now." One spoke as if she almost might be glad, the other wept as if forgetting how to stop. And I fainted dead away, and went down, as if going down to stay.